Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
He showed me gates. Four gates. Spreading across Hawkins. And these gates, they looked like the one outside of Eddie's trailer, but they didn't stop growing. And this wasn't the upside down Hawkins. This was our Hawkins. Our home. Four chimes. Thuckness clock. It always chimes four times. Four exactly. I heard them too. He's been telling us his plan this whole time.
Four kills. Four gates. End of the world.
If that's true, he's only one kill away.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together forever, we're loving stranger things. It's stranger things forever. Rewatching season four from the start to the finish. It's stranger things forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Yeah, stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Whew, I gotta catch my breath. Happy Tuesday, everybody, and greetings to all you stranger friends, as today I am here talking about the next 10 minutes of Papa. It's just such a short title that I feel weird saying Papa. Like I almost want to almost say it like a chicken sometimes. But here I am. It's Tuesday. It's not Tuesday morning. It's not Tuesday night. It's Tuesday day. I guess that's the best way to do it. Today is Veterans Day in the United States. So if you are a veteran, if you have served, if you are serving, if someone in your family has served and are serving, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your dedication. It takes a special kind of person to want to serve their country like that. So I appreciate it. As for doing an episode this morning, that was originally the plan. And just kind of time didn't work in my favor. I mean, let's be honest. I'm going to be honest with you, brutally honest. I was reading a book and my dog woke me up at like 5:30 a.m., and then I kind of fell back asleep. Then I said, you know what? I'm going to read. And I finished my book. Then I said, okay, let's go watch 10 minutes of Stranger Things. Because I don't know if you guys realize this. I literally just watched those 10 minutes. Like, I don't watch the whole episode and then break it up into 10 minutes and then kind of, you know, cut these up. I mean, I'm watching 10 minutes, stopping, recording an episode. That to me keeps it at its purest. It keeps Stranger Things Forever at its absolute quintessential, I lost the word I was going for. Its quintessential goal, yes, to just cover 10 minutes of an episode. So, you know, besides originally watching these episodes, that next 10 minutes, I'm not quite sure what happens. So I'm excited to remember and get reintroduced to these stories just as much as you have. And yet, I have a feeling you guys watch these episodes much more than I have. That being said, for something I haven't seen in a while, I have been loving every minute of this. And where previously I was doing, I started off doing two episodes a week. Then was doing no episodes a week. Then I would do one episode every couple of weeks. And then sometimes it gets stretched out even longer than that. Now to do an episode almost every day, and a lot of the times doing two episodes a day, is really getting me just in the groove, in the mood, just getting me really, really excited. Because as you may know, we are now 15 days away. We're getting to the point where weeks, the term weeks is almost going to be too long. Because soon enough, it'll be a week. Then it'll just be days. Then it will just be hours. And in that time, I am going to jam-pack every moment of Stranger Things Forever I can. And we will get this done. We just have to believe. And if we believe, we can achieve. And I have to go outside and rake the leaves. Yes, it's fall here in Massachusetts and the leaves are everywhere. And I thought they were gone. I was like, oh, this wasn't too bad. Like there was a windy day and they kind of blew into the woods. Perfect. And then I was like, oh, wait, what about those leaves up there? Well, now they've come. They've come to invade my life. Much like Vecna invades Hawkins, the leaves have invaded my backyard. And it's not as serious, I suppose, as an interdimensional, you know, wizard monster, you know, terrorizing the very fabric of your existence. But I have to go out and rake, and I don't want to do that. You know, so it's not fun either, okay? At least those kids are on an adventure. Me, I'm just outside with my headphones on, raking like a fool. And as Mr. T once said, he pities the fool. So it's good to know that Mr. T pities me. Before I get into the next 10 minutes, I did want to talk about an article that popped up on the Google News featuring the boys, the original four boys, before we met, you know, all our friends. I mean, before we met Nancy, before we met Steve, before we met Robin and Max, Eddie and Erica, before we met them all, and I'm sure I think I got all the main young adults now. I still call them the kids. Before we met all of them, we met the original core four of the party of Will, Mike, Lucas, and Dustin. And there's an article that popped up on Google News from GQ magazine, the UK version of GQ. I didn't even know, first of all, that GQ is still a magazine, and second of all, there is a UK version. But in this article, it really is just highlighting the four original boys, Finn Wolfhard, Gaydon Matarazzo, Caleb McLaughlin, and Noah Schnapp. The article title is, is that really the title? I Would Just Walk Around Crying, How the Stranger Things Boys Said Goodbye. That's really the main gist of the article, How the Stranger Things Boys Said Goodbye. Goodbye, as the most monumental series finale since Game of Thrones approaches. Finn Wolfhard, Gaydon Matarazzo, Kalen McLaughlin, something like that, and Noah Schnapp confront the end of the show that defined their childhood. Last night, Noah Schnapp had a dream in which he hung out with his younger self from the first season of Stranger Things, Baby Will Byers, innocent and dewy-eyed, with the much-memed bowl haircut. I was like, you're so cute and little. So much has changed, but also nothing at the same time. Schnapp and his co-stars, Finn Wolfhard, Gaydon Matarazzo, and Caleb McLaughlin, have been acting in the Netflix juggernaut since its debut in 2016. Can you believe it's been that long? In that time, they might have physically grown, sprouted facial hair, and built up social media followings in the tens of millions, but none of them had lost touch with their inner child. That's right, because growing up is overrated. So you can check out the whole article. I will put a link to it in the show notes if you want to read more about them. But I thought I would mention that because that was one of the things that popped up. Most of the things that are popping up are just kind of rehashes of things we already know, we've already talked about, we've already seen. So this was a new thing, and it seems like it's just a nice article, like personal article on these four guys. So I thought you might be interested in checking that out if you haven't done it yet. But enough of that. Let's now get to the next 10 minutes of Papa.
Papa. Papa.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we pick up in Nevada at the Nina Project, and we have Brenner talking with Eleven, saying, you know, he wasn't sure about it being Henry out there until now. And then Dr. Owens comes over and says he's claimed three victims so far, and when I saw the eyes, I knew. I knew it was him. He was sending us a message, letting us know he's back, and that's when I came to see you. So remember, Owens found out about this because the general came in search of answers about possibly where Eleven is, because he thinks Eleven has something to do with it. So when you really think about it, the Nina Project, I feel like, has been planned for a while, ever since Dr. Owens, you know, I think he knew he was keeping an eye on things. I'm guessing. No, he was gone. Somebody was keeping an eye on things because they must have known that Eleven, being in California, had no powers. So they figured, okay, let's do this. Let's have this as a contingency plan. Let's set this up. But nothing was going to happen right away. Think about it. They set this up and had it ready just in case. The only reason that Eleven got involved is because Dr. Owens went and approached and found Eleven. The only reason, because I'm guessing, you know, they were going to go straight to Eleven even before, you know, she smashed that B Angela in the face, you know, and they basically took her from the police. They probably were just going to go to her house, but they went there because the general went to Owens' house to say, "Hey, look at these pictures. You know, we think, what do you think is going on? Where's the girl?" And think about it. If they didn't approach Owens, Owens would not have known. He probably would not have known right away. Maybe they would have found out eventually, would have read something, seen something. But to get things kickstarted, to get things going with Eleven, the general who is looking for her, who is actively hunting and killing people trying to find her, actually is responsible for her getting back in the game. If you really try to put those pieces together, it kind of fits pretty good. So it's thank you, Mr. General Jerkface, because you are helping to save the world. So when they show Eleven the photos, her first thinking is of my friends, of everyone in Hawkins. She goes, "Well, we haven't risked contact, but as far as we know, they're all safe." So guess what? They haven't risked contact, and as far as they know, they're all safe. None of them are safe. And maybe you should risk contact because things are not going well. You know, as Owens is the half glass half full, Brenner is like, "But I'm not going to lie to you. Your friends are in terrible danger. With each victim he takes, Henry is chiseling away at the very barrier that exists between our two worlds." And he gives like a metaphor of little cracks in the dam and eventually it giving way. And he goes, if left unchecked, the pressure builds and builds and eventually it will hit the breaking point. And when that happens, Hawkins will fall." And she walks off and Owens is like, "Well, I think that went well. You know, you weren't ominous at all. You eased her right into this, just like we talked about. You know, not ominous at all. Like, really nice and gentle." Like you could see he was like, you know, Brenner has no bedside manner. He is like black and white, right and wrong. Even when he's wrong, he probably thinks he's right. And just do what needs to be done. While Owens is a little more sympathetic and a little more like, "Hi, I'm talking to a person here." That's not Brenner at all. So Elle goes into her room and she kind of looks in the mirror and she puts the water faucet on. Now, at first, my first thought was, oh, she's going to splash some water in her face. She needs a moment to collect her bearings. But no. She needs to get to work. So she immediately puts the water on to give it that white noise that she needs. She leaves the water running, goes over to the bed, sits down, and immediately goes to channel to try to connect to her friends, because her powers are back. She can now do this. And we then jump over to Hawkins. Now, the next scene, it takes place primarily in Hawkins, but also partly in the void, because Eleven is joining this conversation. I don't know if she's there right away, but she's basically finding out that while Brenner says your friends will be in danger, Owen says your friends are okay right now, she's going to find out, no, they're in danger right now. Things are not good right now, and she needs to get back to them as soon as possible. When we go to Hawkins, we start with Nancy. We're all in Eddie's trailer, and we start with Nancy talking about how, you know, he showed me things that haven't happened yet, the most awful things. She talks about a dark cloud spreading over Hawkins, downtown on fire, dead soldiers. Now, the soldiers, to me, that is really going ahead to Stranger Things 5. Think about it. And a giant creature with a gaping mouth. We have not seen a giant creature with a gaping mouth. You know, so these are things, like when I said he was showing her things at the end, he was showing her things at the end of Stranger Things 4. But think about it. He is definitely showing her things from Stranger Things 5. When she says dead soldiers, that right there, and we know from the trailers, we know that Hawkins has a military presence there to try to, you know, figure out what's going on. And we know some of those soldiers are going to wind up D-E-A-D, dead. So I really like that, you know, revisiting this, you're like, oh, dead soldiers. But there's no soldiers at the end of, oh my God, they're in 5. And it's like, that is a little preview of get ready, it's coming. But when she says this giant creature with a gaping mouth, and the creature wasn't alone, there were so many monsters, an army of monsters coming to Hawkins, into our neighborhoods, into our homes. And then Vecna showed me my mom and Holly and Mike. I guess the Vecna doesn't really care about Ted all that much. Ted's like still in the chair. So Vecna like sends the creatures in, and he looks and he's like, Karen, Holly. And he looks over at Ted and he's like, oh, he's probably already dead. Ted's just sitting there on the couch watching sports. And he just looks like he's dead in the chair. He's just in his chair. But apparently Vecna is not worried about Ted. He's just worried about Holly, Karen, and Mike. She's like, they were all. And he's like, wait. He goes, he's just trying to scare you, okay? I mean, it's not real, not yet. But then she said there was something else, and that's the clip I played at the beginning, where he showed gates, 4 gates spreading across Hawkins. Look like the gates inside Eddie's trailer, but they're much bigger. They kept growing, and it wasn't upside down Hawkins. It was our Hawkins, our home. And that's when Max is like, 4 chimes. Vecna's clock, it's always 4 chimes, 4, exactly 4. And Nancy's like, I heard them too. He's been telling us his plan this whole time. And Lucas is like, 4 kills, 4 gates, end of the world. It's like, wow. And then Dustin's like, well, that's true. He's only 1 kill away. Eddie's freaking out. I was like, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Like, try him again, try him again. So Max goes and makes a phone call to California. While that's happening, we start to see it from different angles. We start to see that Eleven is paying attention and listening to this and listening in on this. And they realize that the phone has been busy, and it's been busy for so long. Now, they know that Mrs. Byers has a telemarketer job, and she's always on the phone, like to the point where Mike won't stop complaining about it. But for 3 days now, that's not Joyce. That's something up. Something's wrong. It can't just be a coincidence. It can't. She's like, whatever happens in California, it's connected to all of this. But Vecna can't hurt them. Not if he's dead. And so like they realize they have to go back into the upside down and take him out. And they're like, whoa, 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 what? Like, some of them are not into it. Some of them are. It's like, we barely made it out before. He says, that's because we weren't prepared. So Dustin actually comes up with a pretty good theory. Robin says, you know, how this Henry Vecna one, he's basically like, just like Eleven, just like a twisted, you know, sick, evil, child murdering male version of Vecna, but with really of Eleven with really bad skin, but kind of the same. And well, right. And think about it. He goes into these trance-like states, and when Eleven goes into those remote travels, into those states, she's kind of defenseless. She's just standing there. She's in a trance. And maybe Vecna is exactly the same way. He's in his house, and he's defenseless, and we can go in and we can kill them. Like, well, what about all the bats? And he's like, well, I love Dustin's like, well, we'll just have to figure out a way around them. You distract them somehow. Okay, how do we do that? I have no idea. But once they're gone, he doesn't stand a chance. It'll be like slaying sleeping Dracula in his coffin. And it's like, it is like, he is so matter of fact about these things. Like, this is what needs to happen. This is what's going to happen. They're like, yes, except there's one problem. We don't know Vecna's patterns. We don't know, you know, when he's going to attack next or who he's going to be attacking. And that's when Max says, yes, we do. I can still feel him. I'm still marked, still, you know, cursed. If I stop listening to Kate Bush, it puts the focus right back on me. So Max is thinking, what if I use myself as bait, which is the highest level of bravery, I think. Lucas is like, no, he'll kill you. She's like, I survived before. I can survive again. Okay. I just need you to keep him busy enough so you guys can get to the attic. Then you can chop his head off, stab him, whatever you need to do. Honestly, I don't care how you put the asshole in a grave. Just whatever it is, whatever you do, try not to miss. So those are the last lines of this 10 minutes, but we still have a quiet moment. I say not really a quiet moment, but a silent moment where there's no words spoken as we jump back to Soviet Russia and we see the snowy field, and all of a sudden this sewer grate gets popped up. We see hands. I would like to see Hopper blow into his hands once, but they must be so callous and so frostbite that it's not even bothering him now. But it looked freezing. I'm cold sitting at my desk, never mind being outside with snow covering my bare hands. But we see his hands push the sewer grate aside. He climbs out. He gets Joyce out. They get Antonov out. I think Murray, and I'm assuming Yuri. We don't quite see them. We see Antonov, I think. We see him and Joyce look at each other. They look down. They see the prison's far enough, far away. They escaped. They got out. And he just like he feels relief. He feels like, I can't believe it. We did it. We then cut over to the gate that Murray drove in originally with the quote unquote prisoners in the back of the van. We see this gate. Well, we see the little hut. We see there's a guard on top, and we kind of pan down as we're starting to look inside the little cabin, hut, storage area, office, whatever you want to call it, by the gate. And then, that is it. That is time. Well, this 10 minutes, there wasn't a lot of action. There wasn't a lot of excitement, and yet there was info. We got information. If you are a fan of Iron Maiden or the television show The Prisoner, that joke was hilarious. So now Eleven fully knows what's going on and why she was approached in the first place. She now also knows, because she used her powers of teleportation, of mind teleportation, to go visit her friends in Hawkins. She knows, at least with them, she doesn't know what's going on in California yet. She doesn't know that they're not in California. For all she knows, they're back home waiting for her. But which is what they were doing before, you know, things got all shooty around their house. So she's not checking on them, because right now, as far as she is concerned, everything dangerous is happening in Hawkins. So that's why she's checking on her friends in Hawkins. And now she knows that something's going on here. But in doing that, she also knows that they're not answering the phone at the buyer's house. So now she realizes not only are Jonathan and Will possibly in danger, but my boyfriend Mike's out there too. So she has no idea where they are, but she does know that they aren't quite as safe as she thought they were a few minutes ago. And of course she knows now what's going on in Hawkins and how these kids are working towards trying to solve the problem of the evil wizard. So that's all going on. Plus, we see that Hopper and the Russian crew have safely made it out of the prison. Oh, good. No going back there. That's great. So that's where we end these 10 minutes. But the plan is to get another episode out to you this evening. So that is what I shall be aiming to do. But until then, you can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality. Really, Blue Sky is the place where I spend most of my time now. And TikTok, I guess. And on TikTok, it's a little different. It's Geek Mentality Mike. You can follow the whole website on Facebook at fans.experts, on YouTube at fans.experts, or just go to fans.experts.com. Fans.experts.com is also on Blue Sky. But if you just want to follow Stranger Danger, simply visit strangerdangerpodcast.com or follow strangerdangerpodcast.com on Blue Sky. So that is it. I am done. I will talk to you tonight. That's the plan. So I'm going to say it now. And now because I said it, I have to do it. So I will see you tonight. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Stay stranger, my friends. And remember, it's people like you and people like me, people all over the world. We are the ones who keep Stranger Things alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.